Wes Tuttle, thank you very much. That was very beautiful. And Steve, we should be on if you check it. And so, okay, let's get ourselves ready for study tonight. I'm really involved, I guess it's kind of silly word, but just emotionally even, but certainly spiritually, theologically, in the study we're doing, and on our study of silence. There's just so much to learn. I've been many years that I've even looked at it, and going through it this time with where God has taken me, the Spirit has taken me in the study. It's just a powerful, powerful study. And so let's begin, first of all, with a word of prayer. Any prayer requests that I'm not aware of, we need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards' daughter. He called. He feels so much like he's a part of this assembly. And he's always calling, and I appreciate that. And so we need to be in prayer for his daughter. She has a lot of heart problems, and she's only 19 or 20. And good to have Sheriff Bob with us, and from Hearn, and I consider him part of our church family. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, people, we're going to, it's been a long time since we've done what we're going to do tonight. It's been a long time since we've kind of went to a lot of different places carrying a concept through. We used to do this all the time. But we're going to need the Holy Spirit to make some transfers in our mind, transitions in our mind, and that we can see the spiritual value of what we're going through, because it's so powerful if we will let the Spirit open our eyes and ears to this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's very interesting in your word that the first book written, there's so much about silence. There's so much about making a noise and not speaking the truth. Then we go to a man after your own heart, King David. So much about silence in this man's life. In so many different perspectives. Right up to our Savior, who though he was taken to the shears, he's a lamb, he opened not his mouth. And he broke the silence on the cross. There's so many things, Father, this is a very important area, and I praise your Spirit will give me the wherewith to say these things and make it in print on everyone who hears this right here tonight, and those that hear it on the internet, discs, tapes, whatever, to be very sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, when to open our mouths and when to close them. And when we do open them, what to say. And when we're silent, what to do. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will lead us tonight. This wonderful journey, this profitable journey, where let your Spirit show us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Job's three friends came to visit Job, and what they did was they sat in silence with him for 7 days and seven nights. Now, going on the journey of study of silence, I've got some new things that I want to bring out in reference to Job. At that point, and then throughout the book of Job. But that keyed us off on just spending a couple of times here, a little bit of time on the whole understanding of silence. And we began last week with point one, Ecclesiastes 3:7, which says a time to be silent and a time to speak. We introduced that as sort of the cardinal principle, the guiding principle that we want to be trusting the Holy Spirit for. This is one of those type of things, people. I find myself sometimes, I'm getting ready to say something, and it's going to sound like maybe a little bit anti or running down or not putting doctrine word and the understanding of the Bible where it is, but this is something a lot of times that just knowing the Bible isn't what you're looking for here. It isn't going to give you the answer. This is the leading of the Spirit. This is the leading of the Spirit. When to be silent. This is why we walk by faith. You can know a lot of doctrine. You're not necessarily going to know when to say it. You might even, what you have to say is, would be absolutely correct and true. But not then. How do I know that? So the great question with point one we saw was, a time to be silent and a time to speak, the secret is to know when. When? And that has to do with some wisdom that we looked at very briefly. And then we went to point two. And point two, a time to be silent and a time to speak are both related to the control of the tongue. So that took us to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And we talked about how what a lot of people see here is self-control, self-discipline. People, to please remember, our self-control, our self-discipline is to be in the Holy Spirit. Not to know, not to keep your mouth shut or not to open it. That's not what we're talking about. That's human viewpoint. Shut up and learn to control your mouth, to control. No, what we want to learn to do, we want to learn to walk in the Spirit. He will give us the wisdom of when to speak and when to be silent. That took us to point three last week. One of the most wonderful times to be silent is when you're under attack in a spiritual warfare. And whether it's divine discipline or suffering, it's a wonderful time to be silent. We looked at Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. It's a powerful verse. Just powerful. Goes right along with a time to speak and a time to be silent. The Lord will fight for you. You keep silent. People, if you want to open your mouth, you want to defend yourself, you want to fight for yourself, fine. Go at it. If you want the Lord to do it, be quiet. So I worked on that. It reminded me of some of the Matlock court cases. He's up there, and the guy he's defending, or a woman, or whatever. Boy, they always want to speak, and they jump up, and they talk. You want me to defend you? You shut up. If you don't want me to defend you, then I'll shut up. And that's basically what God says. You want to take care of the problem? Go. It's you. You want me to take care of the problem? You be quiet. So it's a beautiful, beautiful passage in Exodus 14:14. Then we went to point four. A little few comments about silence in the local church. I guess the main thing that we want to remember here is, if you're going to listen to the teaching of Scripture, then you have to be silent. And we noted a couple of principles. One, you can't listen to the teaching of Scripture and learn and be talking at the same time. Secondly, silence is a response of interest. That is true in Bible class. That is true in a husband-wife relationship, man and woman relationship, friends relationship. Silence is a response of interest. I am interested in what you're saying. I'll shut up so I can hear, concentrate. Let it go into my mind what you're saying. I do have some things I want to say, but I'm interested in what you're saying. So just the best way I know how to apply this, way I know how to put it, silence is a response of interest. Three, silence in the assembly when the word is being taught shows good manners, thoughtfulness of spiritual love. So here spiritual love comes into play. Respect for what's being taught, the Bible. Respect for the teacher, the pastor teacher. Respect for others who may be trying to listen, whether you want to or not. And then fourth, we looked at, you do not learn while talking. This is one of those principles children need to be taught. And adults need to be taught. And here we looked at Job 33:33. If, Elihu was speaking, Job 33:33, if not, listen to me, keep silent, and I will teach you wisdom. So, any way you want to argue this, there's too many verses. You keep silent, God will do it. You keep silent, Elihu is the Christ figure, I will teach you wisdom. And then we closed last week, I thought very wisely, very smoothly, in the last 60 seconds, on the issue, let women keep silent in the assembly. And we'll spend no more time on that tonight. I know when to be silent. Now we're ready for point five. Point five. silence and wisdom. S-I-L-E-N-C-E, what a beautiful word. Silence and wisdom. Now, I hope you do realize there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. So we're talking now about silence and wisdom under point 5. We mentioned it under point 1, but I want to examine it a little bit and develop some things for you just dealing with that concept. Let's start out with the first book written, Job 13. There's so much about silence in the book of Job, it sort of boggles me. I just went, wow, look how many things I'm learning, and you'll see them as we go through the study. From the book of Job and dealing with silence. His three friends should have been silent. But let's look at Job 13 together and let's look at verse 5. Now Job is speaking and he's speaking to his three friends. Look what he says. Oh, and the Hebrew that oh, we don't do that very much anymore, but sometimes we do, but just the cry, the agony, the plea is what's going on here. Oh, that you would be completely silent. And look what he says. And that it would become your wisdom. I just think that's beautiful. For a man who is suffering the way he is suffering, to be able to point that out, that's golden. Let your silence be your wisdom. You recall they first came to Job, and they came to comfort, they came to encourage, and they're going to just end up slam dunking this guy. They're going to end up giving him more misery and more pain and more hurt, and they're going to crush his soul. They came to comfort, but when they saw his condition, they were overwhelmed by it. They withdrew the idea of comforting and encouraging, and they sat down in silence for 7 days and 7 nights. Well, here Job kind of goes back and wishes they just stayed silent. I'm not even going to go any further. To me, he just says it so beautifully, that your silence would become your wisdom. So far, if you wanted to just kind of summarize and put something on the refrigerator door principle, we have three very important, crucial issues here. One, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Well, actually, we have five, because we just start off. One, get in your mind, there's a time. There's a time to be silent, and then there is a time to speak. That would be our first one. So I think I'll go ahead and put that in. I don't know what I'm doing. Speak. Now, then we have a second principle that we've already studied, and that is the Lord will fight for you while, you can also put as long as, if you wish, the Lord will fight for you. So here's the Lord will fight for you, that he will do your fighting for you, as long as you remain silent. And people, that's very hard when people are attacking you. That's very hard when you want to let people have it. Let me tell you something, that's hard. You want to lash out, you want to speak, but as long as you remain silent, then the Lord will fight your battle. But if you want to open your mouth and you want to defend yourself or you want to take on whatever's going on in your life, then be his guest. And then we noted the third one, be silent and listen. Or we could say, be silent and learn. That's in dealing with the study and the learning of the scriptures. Be silent and listen. Be silent and learn. And now we come to a fourth one. Let silence become your wisdom. Let silence become your wisdom. How beautiful. How absolutely beautiful in the play. Now, along with this principle of silence and wisdom, Note the passage we read under silence and the local church. Look at Job 33:33. Just go and look at it again. Kind of put a lot of these things together. So far we've had Job 13:5 here. Let silence be your wisdom. And then Job 33:33. Remember who's speaking now. It's Elihu, the Christ type. The three friends have spoken. Job has spoken. And now the Christ type comes in and speaks to Elihu. If not, listen to me. Keep silent, and I will teach you wisdom. So, this is our second point. Be silent, and you'll learn. People, and I like what's being done here. It doesn't say, and you'll learn, as it were, doctrine. You learn wisdom. You know, I know people that have a lot of Bible, not moxie. A lot of Bible, they have little wisdom. They flaunt it. They use it to control. They use it for all kinds of reasons. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is having that knowledge and then, under the leading of the Spirit, knowing when to use it, how it fits together. So that's very beautiful. Now, in the same motif of silence and wisdom, let's look at Proverbs 11:12. You could write it down, and then I wanted to take time to look at these. I don't know why. Maybe just me. Maybe I'm the only one that needed this. Maybe I talked too much. But I was just taken with this study. I had a wonderful time, and I'm having a wonderful time in my office with this. So I've looked at these, read them in the Hebrew, and I just want you to experience them. Now, by the way, we might be very close to getting PowerPoint. If we get it, then I can just put it on the board, and that'll save us a few minutes in our time factor, and that's good for me, God. But because we've got some things, James was able to get the projector, and Tish was very nice to let us use, not have, but use a hand computer. And boy, when he came in and I showed him that, he just should have seen a smile. And so the whole thing is put together. So we're going to get that set up. But what I want to do here is look at Proverbs 11:12 with you. You should have found it by now. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense. But look at this. But a man of understanding keeps silent. This is powerful stuff. Because what do we want to do? If I have wisdom, I want you to know I got it. I want to tell you about it. And yet we're seeing that wisdom of the Spirit is often silence. A man of understanding keeps silent. Well, then, I can show you passages where you talk or you do this. You bet you can. That's my point. See, if I wanted to get into just a Bible battle with you, well, I got verses to show you talk. Well, I got verses to show you be quiet. That's why I'm telling you, people, we need to walk by faith every hour. But when we're in conflict or in the deal with our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends, just be in the Spirit. And you'll know. And to me, these things are just so beautiful to bring it to the front. So let's look at Hebrews or Proverbs 11:12 again. The second part is our point. But a man of understanding keeps silent. So you want to flaunt all your understanding. Well, what does that show? According to this, you may not have as much understanding as you think you do. Because if you really had understanding, let's be humorous. Sir, if you really understood women like you think you do, you would have shut up. You would have not boasted it. See? So you don't have as much knowledge as you think you do, and you just demonstrated it by saying what you just said. I know, I understand women. Oh, boy, you just revealed that you don't understand anything. So that's a humorous way of looking at something very important here. Slip over a few chapters to Proverbs 17. And those of you writing down, we're going to look at 17:28. This is humorous. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool When he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. I likened Proverbs 17:28 to the concept that a broken clock is right twice in a 24-hour period. It's not that this person necessarily is these things. He's not necessarily wise. He's not necessarily prudent. But he shows a wisdom and he shows a prudence by being silent. So the very fact that he doesn't open his mouth and let you know he's not wise and not prudent is being wise. That's the point. Now, and this is true in a lot of things, but I just reflect in seminary. There would be men, I don't know where they came from, but they had to say things in class. And the prof and other students just would look and you just go, wow, dumb. But sometimes you just sit and I don't really understand what's going on in the class. And that's why, just listen. And maybe afterward, get it then. But there's just certain signs in life. Keep silent, and you'll be considered wise. And if you know how to control your lips, keep silent with your lips. So it is the flesh desire, the flesh nature, to always want to open our mouths and speak. And what you want to say may be good, not good, whatever. But what we want to understand walking in the Spirit is the wisdom of knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Okay, point five, wisdom, silence, and wisdom. Point six. Point six is an interesting point because I'm only really going to bring out one or two things, and there's just a multitude of things that we could do. But you'll get the idea, I think, without my laboring it, and you'll get the point. And point six is silence and one another, meaning silence and other believers. Now, it can be silence and you being silent and all unbelievers, but primarily silence and one another. In your home, in your marriage, family, church, social life. So let's take a look at some things in this. Silence and friendship. And we have a great deal to learn in this respect. When to speak, when to remain silent with our friends. Those whom we love. Those whom we care about. So often our caring causes us to lose perspective of when to be silent. This happens to husbands. This happens to wives. This happens to parents. This happens to friends. We care, and that caring from our flesh nature just causes us to lose perspective, lose the wisdom of when to be silent. Many Christians who are controlling nature have a great trouble with the leading of the Spirit and being silent. People who like to control their wives, people that like to control their husbands, people that just like to control others. A lot of preachers like to control people. But people who just, it's their nature, and we've already studied in our study of stress, anxiety, depression, on SAD, that control is an illusion. You control your environment, all these things, and we had some fun studying that. But Christians who are controlling in their nature to get their way and to have everything the way they want it have a great deal of trouble with the leading of the Spirit in silence. And those who are often slow to speak, get this down now in your mind, if not in your notes, those who are often slow to speak have trouble with the leading of the Holy Spirit when to speak. They're intimidated by their husband or their wife or somebody. Or just all their life. They're people. We're not here to change personalities. They're people who just go up and they are not prone to speak. There are others of us that are always prone to speak. But there are people who are prone not to speak. Well, both of these people have trouble with the leading of the Spirit, when to be silent and when to speak. Now, we know that we're not to judge, I hope you know it, not to judge one another. We're not to lie to one another. We're not to slander, gossip, bite and devour one another, pass on gossip about one another. But sometimes, even our best intentions spiritually get in the way. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts 21. Acts 21. It is wise to know when to remain silent, even when you really care about someone. So it's really part of wisdom. But I want to deal with it in just dealing with one another, and I'll show you why. Acts 21. Now, what we want to do is set the scene, and then we'll concentrate on our verse. But let's look at Acts 21, and let's begin our reading in Acts 21:8. Let's look at Acts 21:8. And on the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, Apostle Paul. And entering the house of Philip, he's obviously a Gentile, just by name, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. And I love this hospitality in the Bible. It's a wonderful principle, hospitality is. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. Now, if we were studying the passage, we'd have a lot of fun with what's going on here. But that's not our study. Verse 10. And as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet, bound his own feet and hands, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So this is the Holy Spirit revealing this to this man. And when we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Boy, doesn't that sound wonderful? It just sounds wonderful, but it's not. It's arrogance. But it sounds wonderful. Now we come to verse 14, our study. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, "The Lord, the will of the Lord be done." Now this last phrase is not resignation. This last phrase is not, put it on the board, it is not resignation. T-I-O-N. This is not resignation. What is it? Let me tell you what this is. It is not resignation. What we have there in the, going on in our soul, it is strong. It is strong. I want to make sure I get the right. It is strong resolution. It is strong resolution. They're not just saying, "Okay, I'll shut up. What are you going to do, Paul? It's not what's going on. That's what some people do. That's not in the spirit. Oh, just go do what you want to do. That's resignation. It's not what we're dealing with here. We're not talking about resignation. That's not what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with is strong resolution. Strong resolution to the will of God. I'm going to give you a principle for yourself. Strong resolution to the will of God often calls for silence. Just be silent and let God do what He's going to do. I want to know, people, let me give you another principle here. The point here that I want to make with you is not whether they are right or Paul is right. That's not the point. See, we, in America, we want to know right and wrong. Who's right here, who's wrong here? That is not the point. The point is not whether they're right or Paul's right. You know why that's not the point? Nobody knows. Paul says one thing. They feel very strongly about another. So, this is not a battle over who's right or wrong. Please get that in your mind. It is a matter now between Paul and the Lord. And what I love about these people, they're going to pray for him. They're going to support him with prayer and finance, people. They're not going to be self-righteous. Well, we don't think you ought to go, but if you want to go, go. But we can't support it. We can't support you. No, we don't think you ought to go. But you resolve. God's will be done. We'll pray for you, and here's some traveling money. People, that's beautiful. That's spiritual law in action. That's the absence of control. Know when, here's the principle. Know when to encourage a friend. Know when or how to counsel a friend. We are to do that. We are to encourage, counsel, warn. But do it in the spirit. Do not turn it into a debate. Now, this is very important for every one of you and every one of us. Do not turn it into a debate. Do not turn it into what they think against what you think. As you're walking in the Spirit, He'll let you know when you've said enough. You go to your friend, and what Job is going to say, you crushed my soul these 10 times. What is he saying? You just keep coming, and you just keep coming. If you'd have just said it once and dropped it, okay. But you just kept coming, and you crushed my soul. People, I know you love somebody that you're talking with, you're encouraged, you care about them. Maybe you're fearful of what's going to happen, so you go to them. That's wonderful. We're encouraged to do that. But do it in the spirit of gentleness. Do it in the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide you when you've said enough. Okay, I'm sure that this person understands what I'm saying. They understand that I care. And this is getting into an argument. This is getting where I don't want it to go. And so I turn this over to the Lord. And I remain silent now on this issue. And you remain their friend. You encourage. Do these wonderful things, people. You don't just walk away. Well, if you're not going to do what I want, then I'm out of here. These people are wonderful. And all I want to say is your silence and one another. When we talk with one another, and people, this can be husband, wife, children, parents, friends, church, social life, whatever. I would even take this so far as between two Christians in the realm of business. Someone comes and asks you about money, investment, or some business deal or something. And don't make it a battle. Don't sit there and start arguing. In the spirit, here's what I think is going on. If they listen fine, if they don't get upset. Don't make it personal in that way. These people are great. They went to this point. They realized. They made their point. Look how it reads in verse 14. And since he would not be persuaded. He just reached that point. You know he's not going to be. This person you're talking with. Your wife. Your husband. Your friend. They're just not going to be persuaded. We fell silent. And what we did have to say was, the will of the Lord be done. Any questions on that point? It's powerfully impersonal. Let's go to point seven. Point seven. This one is extremely important in the spiritual warfare on the truth of the gospel. And the best way I know how to word it is this way. Walking by faith in the Spirit is one of the most effective ways to silence false teaching, to silence the false views of the gospel in reference to salvation 1 or 2. And this is very important in dealing with false teachers. What is the most effective way to silence false teachers? Please look with me, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll give it all to you, then we'll look at it. 1 Peter 2, 15. 1 Peter 2, and we're going to look at verse 15. 1 Peter 2, 15. Okay, now, let's deal a little bit with what's going on. 1 Peter 2:15. Someone is going to protest that I'm making this principle, taking the principle out of context. Let's read verse 15, and then we'll get to look at it in context. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Okay, are we taking this out of context to do what we're doing in it? Note the context. Note the context. Let's read now in this passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read from verse 13. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, whether you're free or not, it's not the point. Act as free men, because you're free in Christ, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves for God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, all of God, and honor your cosmic or earthly authorities. Now, where do we get this power and where do we get this ability? Galatians chapter 2, 22 and 23 deals with the fruit of the Spirit. And you go through the fruit of the Spirit and what does it say? There is no law against these such things. You have the divine nine listed and then he says, there is no law. Now, since I want us to understand this in the whole realm of the spiritual realm, look over a few pages at Galatians, just to show you. Put the two passages together. Galatians just lays down the foundation of so many things. And what I want to look at here is Galatians chapter 2, or excuse me, Galatians 5, I'm sorry. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And look at the next powerful statement. Against such things there is no law. See, religion wants to be in control so it can control society. Make laws of the land. What is the characteristic of the Spirit-filled believer, one walking in the Spirit? There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. So we silence human viewpoint of the world in the spiritual realm, meaning their false teaching on the gospel, in the political realm, by walking by the Holy Spirit. And I might add, and get our young people to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to point eight. Let's go to point eight. Point eight is going to be difficult for some to grasp right off. In fact, I honestly believe that grasping it and knowing when to live it, just one of those times, absolutely is going to demand the Holy Spirit, especially when you consider the conditions of our own country at this time, that we ought to be doing stuff with, and where we all know that we're going, like in Sunday morning, that perfect tense. Things that happened in the past, the present result of Israel, they could not believe us because of the past, all the things that were going on. You and I are living in the perfect sense here of what all the things, and you and I know what's going to happen, don't we? We know where the future's going to be if the trends continue as they are today. And so we understand that. So what are we supposed to do? So point eight is this. The believer is to remain silent in a time of evil. A time when a nation is turning away from the truth of God, the Creator, truth of the Bible, even Salvation 1 and 2. Please turn with me for this principle to Amos 5:10. Minor prophet Amos 5:10. Amos 5:10. Can look it up. This is going to be difficult. I think we should, some people, well, we should always speak and give out the truth and proclaim the truth. Well, let's take a look. It's going to demand the Holy Spirit. It's just a time to be quiet. Amos 5, verse 12. I know your transgressions are many, and your sins are great. You distress the righteous, put pressure on those who are walking by faith. You accept bribes. You turn aside the poor in the gate. Now this is both politically and spiritually, by the way. Verse 13. Therefore, at such a time, the prudent one keeps silent, for it is a time, for it is an evil time. Now, after reading this, does anyone wonder, think about this now, does anyone really wonder why the Lord remains silent throughout his trials? If we understand Amos 5:13, can we even question why the Lord remains silent? Therefore, at such a time, a prudent one keeps silent, for it is an evil time. Why does he keep silent? It is an evil time. Now, the question here is not on being silent, but who are the prudent? Who are the prudent? In simplicity, the one walking in the power of the Spirit is the prudent. That's the one that's going to make you prudent, is walking in the power of the Spirit, following what the Spirit leads, listening to the Spirit. The Hebrew word here is the hifil participle of sakal. It's the hifil participle of sakal, S-A-K-A-L, sakal. Now, the hifil is causative. To be caused to be prudent. This is important. Now, sakal has a variety of meanings. Let me just give you some. Circumspect, intelligent, have understanding, prudent, wisdom. This is a word for wisdom. But let me give you what the foundation. If you're a note taker, here's what you want to write about without the word prudent here. Not just the knowing of something, Not just the knowing of something, but knowing the reason for it. Not just the knowing of something, but the knowing of the reason. First of all, this person knows biblical truth, Bible doctrine, if you please. He knows it. The Holy Spirit has taken him through and he understands it. Now the Holy Spirit gives him wisdom of what he knows. Now the Holy Spirit gives him wisdom of what he knows. Not IQ, not man's ability to figure it out, not human logic, but the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. Oh, people, there are so many Christians that are so proud of their IQ and their logic thinking, and they take their doctrines and they make their way through logic and everything. They don't need the Holy Spirit to learn the Bible, and they don't need the Holy Spirit to apply it, or they can think they're all the way through it. If they don't know something, it's because they don't know enough doctrine. That's just not true. We need the Holy Spirit. If there's anything you learn by more doctrine you learn, it's that you need the Holy Spirit to know what you've learned. Now, don't ask me to repeat that. But we're going to need the Holy Spirit to understand what we think we understood. So, this person knows the biblical truth, but he relies on the Spirit for the wisdom. He knows, for example, he knows that he's in evil time. Now, watch this. He knows that he's in evil time. He knows that he is to be silent. And why is he to be silent? See, that's what he knows. He knows it's evil. He knows it's a time to be silent. But remember our statement, it's not just the knowing of something, but knowing the reason why. Why be silent? Here's why. Because the only hope this nation will have is the truth that they have rejected. I have nothing else to give you. You have rejected the truth. That's what an evil time is. Evil doesn't mean, people, that these people are doing nasty little things to little animals. Evil doesn't mean that they're using little girls in prostitution. Evil means they have rejected the truth. And when someone rejects the truth, I know to be silent. And why do I be silent? Why am I silent? Because I know they have rejected the only thing that's going to help. I have nothing more to say. I can't offer any more. I hope you understand what's going on here in this issue and why this is so important, because we have trouble. I thought we were always supposed to speak. But if you understand what's going on here, I know to be silent. And why do I know to be silent? Because they've rejected the truth. Let's say they're in that mode. They're in that mode. Here's miracle number one, turning the water to wine. Miracle number two and three and four and five and six and seven. And through here, there's time. So the Lord speaks. The Lord reveals the truth. He reveals it in the two ways we studied. Pro'eo, the doing, miracles, and logao, the speaking, delivering of messages. Two ways. He gets down to here. They rejected it. It's time to be silent now. Oh, but you're on trial. Speak. No? I have nothing more to say. Why is that wisdom? Because they rejected the truth, and the truth is all I have. That's all I have. And when we get to them, there's only one person in the six trials of Christ who finally said the right thing. And that was a Gentile. What is truth? He doesn't know how close he came to the spiritual warfare. But what I want you to see is the Lord remains silent. Why? Because it's wisdom. They've rejected it. I have nothing more. You rejected, you rejected, you rejected. What more can I add to it? What more can I say to you? What more can I do for you? I've raised the dead. I've turned water to wine. I've healed the blind. I've delivered messages after message. I have nothing more. I will be silent now. Why is that prudent? Because they have rejected the only thing that will help them. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. I've been redundant, and I'll stop doing that. But I hope you understand. Why be silent? Now, that's the prudent person. Remember, the prudent person not only knows something to be silent, but he knows why. And why? Because they, the only hope the nation will have is the truth, and they have rejected the truth. So it is the believer. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just gives you the wisdom to know to be silent. The person you're speaking with understands the truth, and they have rejected it. Just be silent and know why you're being silent. That's why I like the idea that when I gave you the idea that it is not a resignation. Okay, okay, you don't want the truth, then go to hell. I don't care. No, I do care. This is not resignation. This is resolution. Big difference. So I'm just going to, okay. I know you understand it. You're rejected. I have nothing more to give you. And therefore, so we have a beautiful principle here that we're dealing with. The one truth they need, they have hardened against. So please be sure that when we are to be silent, does not mean that we're not to be active, though, people. Please get that in your mind. This is not defensive. This is an offensive maneuver. You continue to walk in the Spirit. You continue to pray for them. People, what did our Savior do? He cried. He wept for this nation. He knew there was nothing he could do. They rejected the truth. Be silent. But he wept for them. You don't just say, when that's it, you deserve what's happening to you. That reveals you're not in wisdom. You're not in the Spirit. So you're active. What are you doing? You're going to prayer. You do care about the person. You do go into prayer. Fervent prayer. And that's what you do. So it is not a matter of just backing out. Not a matter of not being active. You're very active. You yourself are walking in the Spirit. You yourself are in prayer. You yourself are studying the Scriptures. You yourself will continue to witness when the Holy Spirit leads. You in the Spirit will continue to encourage one another. You continue in Bible class. Continue to be influenced by Scripture. And what? Now, why did I say that? You continue to be walking in Spirit. You continue to be influenced by Scripture. Why? This is important. So that you won't be influenced by the society you're in. You'd be surprised, and maybe not, the number of people in our society who are influenced by the society that we live in. Influenced by what's going on spiritually, what's going on emotionally, what's going on politically. You start being influenced. Man, maybe that isn't so bad. Well, maybe this. Well, maybe that. People, you got to keep those. It's so difficult in evil time. And I think that's what we're letting in America. It's so difficult in an evil time. Because on the one hand, you've got to just be silent. On the other hand, you've just got to put on and walk in the Spirit. Continue in spiritual love. And keep your focus. And it's very difficult. Especially when there's so few that are doing that in the realm of the truth. So the cosmic system, the pressures of the time, like the believers in Hebrews 12 that were studying, people, what happened to them? All the pressure of the time caused them to what? To back up, to defect. And that's why we were studying Hebrews 12. At first they stood firm. You visited those who were in prison. People stole your house. People took this, and boy, you just stood firm. But it just kept coming. And they finally backed off. People, don't let it happen. Don't go into resignation. Don't go into, well, it's all, everybody's, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. What do I care? I do care. I do care. I care what's happening to me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit's going to lead me to love. The Spirit's going to lead me to give. The Spirit's going to lead me to these things, to pray and to care. But this is a tough time in which people are live. Okay, we have some more things I want to cover in regard to silence. Any questions on things we studied? Because and I hope if you have any questions and you write them down or something or call me, because there's just so many different ways we can look at it. And that's why I'm saying we need to be in the Spirit on this. Because we can go to passages and say, yeah, but I can tell you passages where we're to speak. Amos says, be quiet. But now I hope you know why Amos said that. because the only thing that you have to give them is the truth, and they've rejected it. Be silent. Go into prayer. Okay. I hope you're enjoying this. Let's close in prayer. What an awesome God you are. You have given to us a mouth and a tongue. You've given to us ears and eyes. And yet, Heavenly Father, there are so few that hear. There are so few that see. For so few that know, Heavenly Father, when to speak and when to remain silent. And I pray as you've taken us on this journey that this will just awaken so much in this assembly, in our lives, and in our marriages, in our personal lives, and in the church. Being cognizant of these things. That there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Silence is not retreat. Silence is proactive. Father, we praise you for the God you are. To praise your Spirit, take the things that we've seen, cause them to become a reality in our souls, bear fruit in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.